I'm sure most of us have fallen asleep in church, right? I probably shouldn't say that because probably you were just resting your eyes so you can concentrate more on the sermon, right? I'm sure that's it. I'm sure that some preachers, even from this pulpit, have gone on longer than you wished. Sometimes it takes preachers a long time to say what they want to say. I remember when I was a kid, we had one pastor that he said, well, and he had a reputation for going on quite a while. He says, some pastors just sidetrack a few of the cars and then get to the end. He says, I don't do that. I keep on going, and he did keep on going. I think probably those who realize how long sermons are sometimes mostly are nursery workers. They're in there with the kids for an ever, ever, it seems, and then on Communion Sundays, it gets to be a long, long time. Well, anyway, our story today is about an innocent young man who fell asleep during a very long sermon and caused quite a stir, and it comes from the 20th chapter of Acts. You know that the Apostle Paul was a driven man. He was one who did everything full bore. Before he was converted, he was a persecutor, and he put people in jail and even had them killed. He was converted in a dramatic way, and then he became that same kind of a missionary. He just did everything with everything that he had. He made three missionary journeys. All three of them went through Asia Minor. Two of them went into Greece, and on this third journey coming back from Greece, he caught the corner of Asia Minor, again, the corner of Turkey today. And he was saying his farewells because he was pretty sure he wasn't going to get back there again. He's heading for Jerusalem. He made a short stop in the city of Troas, called the believers together, and they had a meeting, and he must have had a lot to say. Verse 7 of Acts chapter 20. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Oh, boy. I suppose it was an evening service that started maybe around 8 o'clock. That means that was a four-hour service. You wonder why things happen. I suppose he had a report to bring from the other churches. I suppose that he just got carried away. Paul was quite a preacher. He was encouraging. He was exhorting. He was evangelizing, and he went on and on and on. He had very much to say. Even though it was a long service, Paul had good news to bring. If we read the 17th verse again of that scripture that was just read, he brought this good news of peace to Gentiles who were far away from him, and the peace of the Jews who were near. Good news. Paul was always preaching good news. And even though he preached on and on and on, it was still good news. And I wonder if we always remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news to everyone who hears. But you know, as he went on, the people got kind of bored and kind of tired. The upstairs room where we met was lighted with many flickering lamps. Okay. Doesn't say whether it's a big room or a small room or how many people, but it got hot and stuffy. The mind can absorb only what the seat can endure. Is that right? I think so. We have a group that meets for coffee on Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock. And in the summer, we meet at Box and Burlap on Highway 67 and 50 there. And they're very hard aluminum chairs. They're no padding at all. We have one of our guys that doesn't like this, and so he has cut out a section of cushion a foot square, and he brings all these sets of cushions so we can sit on these chairs and be comfortable. Oh, that's kind of nice. We like it. I know at first somebody said, nah, I don't need a cushion. When John brings cushions now, almost everybody takes one. It's nice to have something that's a little bit softer. Paul was preaching a long sermon and the people got tired. It was hot and stuffy. And Eutychus, I'm sure, was probably a young guy. He moved to the window. I'm not sure why they met in the third floor. It just says an upper room at first, but then it says they met at the third floor. And the next verse says, as Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on a windowsill, became very drowsy. Finally, he fell sound asleep and dropped three stories to his death below. It's not so bad to sleep in church, but it is bad to fall out the window when you're three stories up. His head was nodding, started to droop. He slid, or he fell, and there was a scream, and that was kind of a pretty big interruption. They went on to find him dead. That was terrible. Man, can you imagine a young person come to church just to hear this special speaker that was coming and falls down dead? Well, like Paul Harvey used to say, there's the rest of the story. It would have been a real tragedy if not for the rest of the story. I'm wondering, who pushed Eutychus? Was it God? No, God wouldn't do things like that. But God did allow it. Was it Satan that pushed Eutychus? Probably. Anything to cause a disruption, and definitely there was a disruption there. And in about 5 minutes, we want to deal with why do bad things happen to good people? That's the whole problem of evil, and we're not going to solve it, but let's talk just a little bit. Christians do have problems. We suffer. Maybe we suffer because Jesus suffered. In 1 Peter, Peter says, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude that he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. There's some good to suffering. Jesus suffered, and it's good for us to suffer. And it has something to do, as Peter mentions, the way we deal with sin and the way sin has an effect on us. So maybe we suffer because Jesus suffered. Maybe we suffer because we need to learn something. Paul says in Romans 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance, strength of character, and confident hope of salvation. And this will not lead to disappointment. James also has a pretty strong statement to say on that. Maybe we need to learn from God, and that's why we suffer. Well, maybe we suffer because of sin. Now, Adam had brought sin into the world, and again, Romans 5 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, and so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned even before the law was given. In other words, I got to get this one right, we sin because we're sinners. It comes from the beginning. Does that cause us to suffer? Maybe. Well, maybe it's our own sin directly. Job had a lot to say and think about that. As Eliphaz answers him in chapter 5, it says, but consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. I don't think there's a direct relationship between our sin and our suffering. Maybe there is sometimes. But sin does affect our suffering. There's one other reason, I think, that maybe Christians have problems, and that's to draw us back to God. Again in Peter, he says, in his kindness, God calls you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you and place you on a firm foundation. It's good for us to be drawn back to Christ. I said there was one more reason, really two reasons. There's some truth to all of these things that we've mentioned, but there's one more that I think is very important, and that's found in John 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or the sins of his parents? Ah, nice thing, very, very cut and dried, either this or that. And Jesus says, no, it wasn't any of that. Jesus answered, this happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. And I think that's the reason bad things happen to people, good people sometimes, so that the power of God can be seen through our response. Oh, yes, bad things do happen to us, but God does help us through. Again, Paul says in Romans, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? And the answer is no. Of course, we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. There's so much suffering in the world today. The Christians in Nigeria are suffering a lot from various things that are happening there. We hear about Ukraine quite a bit. You see some of the things that are happening there, and some of the chaplains in the army that never knew they were going to have to work in this way are having a tremendous ministry to those soldiers. Even the believers in Maui, with the fires there, we hate to think that there's ever problems in Hawaii, but there are. Many things going wrong, but God does help us through. God often, I think, wants to teach us something specific. Psalm 34 says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. God comes to rescue us. Whenever I've been in trouble, I found it's better to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And there are times when I don't understand anything, and you've gone through some of those things, maybe going through some of those things now. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? It's either I can respond to this and go into survival mode, and I can say, I just want to get through it and get it over with, and then we'll go on with life, or I can look at it and say, how can I grow through this experience? Philippians 3:10-11 says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection of the dead. In other words, when we have an issue like this, take the long-term look. Not what am I going to do tomorrow, what am I going to do next week, even what am I going to do next year. Take the long look. If I'm suffering, I want to make sure I look at it so I can look and see how I can draw closer to God. Are we committed enough to trust him through all these things? In the middle of things, it's terrible. But are we committed enough to trust him through it all? There's an old song by Andre Crouch. It says, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation, and my trials come only to make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend on his word. I trust that's our response. Well, let's look at the last couple of verses of that situation. Verse 10. Paul went down, bent over him, and took him into his arms. Don't worry, he said. He's alive. That's kind of funny because Luke had just pronounced him dead. We assume that Luke was a doctor and said he was dead. And so that was one thing. And Paul came back and said, don't worry, he's alive. I find maybe Paul gave him CPR. I don't know. Maybe he gave him the Heimlich maneuver. Maybe it was just that. But he wasn't just knocked out. He was dead, Luke says. Don't be alarmed, Paul said. He's alive. I find it unique that they went back upstairs and the service continued. Oh, this is just a little interruption. Yes, it was an interruption, but the good news continued. Paul preached the good news. God cares about people who bring glory to him. And in this situation, God cared about that situation. Oh, an interruption, a service, a long service? Yeah, we're not going to go that long this morning. God cares about people that bring glory to him. And that's what Paul was doing. Well, Eutychus in this whole situation is kind of shown as a humorous example of something that happened. probably not that humorous from Utica's perspective, but as we look back on it, why on earth did a guy fall out a window and day like that? And yet, it was done to bring glory to God. Why did Luke put this account in the book of Acts? I don't know, just one little paragraph, five or six verses. He could have said, well, it's just another day at the office for Paul. Paul was that kind of guy that all kinds of things kept coming up, and he just kept on going. It could have been, long sermons have their ups and downs, advantages and disadvantages. But I think it was really God cares about people. God shows his glory in every situation. Whenever I meet with our pastor, she always says, almost always at least, says, okay, where have you seen God working today? And I kind of got prepared for that now, so you think ahead a little bit. But the first few times, I thought, man, I'm not used to thinking about where I've seen God working today. She's intensively practical, sometimes too practical. But she says, where have you seen God working today? Are we aware of what he's doing, or do we ignore his presence? God is here all around. We need to watch for him. We need to share where we see him. Do you really believe that God still does miracles? I hope you do. Don't be afraid to look for miracles in our everyday life. One more question. What are you attempting for God that's impossible? Is there something you're doing that is impossible? If you're not doing something impossible, then we can do all this in our own strength. But we have the God of the universe at our fingertips, so to speak. And if we aren't attempting something impossible, why are we doing anything? Trust God. Ask him what you can do to help his work, to help other people. Because if you're only doing things in your own strength, then we're not using the God that we have with us. God is here. He promised to lead us. I trust that we will follow. Good news is still being taught. People get bored and sleepy. Bad things do happen, but God still does miracles. God is here all around us. Watch for him. Share what you see, and it's better to stay awake in church, even if the sermon isn't 4 hours long. Amen. Let's sing.